beep beep. Bad girls.
Talking about bad girls.
We saw Donna Summer the other night, the new Broadway musical about Donna Summer. And
we've never been happier.
We just want to wear all those gorgeous coats from the 70s and dance in front of car headlights.
Every time.
And sing Bad Girls.
And at one point during the show, there was like glitter and disco balls shining and glitter falling from the ceilings. And I went home that night and I found glitter in my bra and in my shoe, and I knew it was a good night.
So you may be following our 100 Days of Joy challenge. And if this is the first time you're hearing about it, we are challenging all of our listeners to hashtag 100 days of joy. And so part of us cultivating joy in our life is a little Donna Summer and some glitter that falls out of our bra when we get home.
So we decided that it would be fun to begin our podcast with a musical
homage
to mm-hmm. Sweet Donna and all the great work she did on the planet.
Well, speaking of joy and 100 days of joy, something that makes me incredibly joyful, which I'm sure you know if you listen, is hot Aubrey Marcus.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
It's not just that he's physically hot, it's just that he's spiritually hot.
Yeah.
I mean, he's both.
Yeah.
So anyways, so that I could have ultimate joy this morning, I was running around the Central Park Reservoir, and I was listening to my buddy Aubrey, and he was telling this story. He was talking about this painting of Prometheus,
mm-hmm.
and what he said was so interesting that when Natalie came over, I was like, listen to this. This is rocking me. And basically, it was getting into that idea of, he was talking about Prometheus hugging his ego, which had just eaten his liver. So there's like some painting he was talking about the ego had just finished eating Prometheus's liver, and Prometheus was hugging it. He was loving it. And I was like, oh, we have to love our ego. And then Natalie, this deep spiritual channel that she is, it's so good to have a deep spiritual channel as your best friend. She goes, oh, yeah, it's like the inner bully.
Yeah. So we decided we would call this podcast Bully for You.
Bully for you.
That saying, bully for you. It's like, good for you. But saying, yes, the bully inside of us is actually for us, but we are very, very busy being upset, feeling victimized, feeling consumed by the fact that there is this bully inside, this inner critic. One of our favorites, Jack Plotnick, calls it the vulture of the ego. Michael Singer calls it the inner roommate. I've heard Elizabeth Gilbert call it the critical parent. So we all have this different terminology for this voice inside of us that we are listening to that is just mean.
Ugh.
It is just hard on us, and no matter what we do, we haven't done it well enough. And it is never satisfied. And it is, it's like it's its mission to seek out what is wrong with us and tell us over and over. And there's a way that we allow and accept this energy because somehow we think, well, it's going to motivate us. And if not for this critical, angry, punitive, punishing voice inside my head, maybe I wouldn't be motivated to be better. And it's a really interesting thing that we have been raised to say, we must put ourselves down in order to build ourselves up. When in a loving universe that is for us, there's nowhere to go but up. We were always meant to unfold, to expand, to get bigger. So this idea that we somehow have to make ourselves small in order to earn becoming great, becoming big, is kind of the way that we allow the bully to live on our playground. So we want to think in this conversation today that your interior landscape, who you are on the inside, your soul, your Purusha, your spirit, and also who you are as form, as this body, as you're walking around this world with your talents and your eyeballs and your teeth and your everything. We want to think that all of what makes you you is this big, beautiful playground. And on this playground, there is infinite possibility. You can go anywhere. You can play on the swing set. You can climb the monkey bars. You can build a fort. You can play in the trees. You can do anything. But always lurking around your playground is this inner bully. And the inner bully, all it wants to do is say, I'm only as big as how small I can make you.
Yeah.
And that's what makes us real scared to play.
Yeah. And then realizing that that bully, that kid on the playground, I can see him in my mind's eye. He has freckles and he has buck teeth. This is just my inner bully.
Yours reminds me of the kid in the Christmas Story movie.
Yes.
Oh, remember that kid?
I think that's exactly my inner bully.
He looked kind of like a fox.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Like Farkas or something?
Farkas! Farkas! By the way, from now on, I'm going to call my ego Farkas. my inner critic Farkas is up again. Oh my God, that's fantastic.
I can't wait to come up with the name for mine. Well, it'll come during the podcast at some point.
Well, and what Nat and I were talking about is, you know, this inner bully inside of us actually got that way because of hurt and pain, right? So the thing that makes it lash out so violently and come and punch you in the face is because it is so deeply wounded. And we know that actually in real life when we were kids on the playground, that the kid who's meanest on the playground did not come from a nice home. So all of us have these wounds inside of us that created this bully. And that bully is loud because it wants you to know these wounds are still there.
Right, because there was once upon a time when we didn't have the inner bully.
Yes.
Like there was a time when I actually remember I used to always sing in the shower loud and proud. And specifically, I loved like the belting divas, like the Whitney Houstons and the Mariah Careys and the Celine Dions. And I had no idea that I had no talent. I thought it was like the performance of a lifetime. Like I should probably get a Grammy for the shower performance. And I remember my parents like having conversations with each other like, should we tell her that she's completely tone deaf and has no talent? Or should we let her live in this delusion because it makes her happy? And I remember them like not really knowing what the right parenting thing to do was. The point of that story is there was a time when I had no talent in that way, but I also didn't know.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have the inner bully yet.
Yes. And, you know, Marianne Williamson says, everything that is not love is a call for love. So that kid who's on the playground, who's like torturing people and calling people names,
trying to dominate, trying to control,
he's trying to get attention because he needs love. Whatever is going on at home is so painful, is so ugly, that he just is dying for someone to say, what's going on?
Yeah.
How can I help? Right? So we can think of our own inner bully in the same way.
Yeah.
And so instead of, because often what happens is when those thoughts come up, we either, one, listen to them and believe them.
Yes.
Or we, like, try to get rid of them.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's where people talk a lot about having issues with affirmations is they're like, it feels like I'm trying to get rid of thoughts that are coming up naturally. Well, those thoughts are coming up because they want attention. Often, and I hear this all the time from people, they don't want to get into a meditative state. They don't want to sit down and get quiet. And we see this all the time. I know it inside of myself. When I get really busy and fill up my entire schedule, it's because I am trying to drown out a voice that is negative that actually wants my attention because there is healing that needs to happen.
Mm.
So when we sit down and we get quiet and we listen and we watch that ego come up with its voices, or we watch that negative self-talk or that criticism, it's like, oh, I see you. I feel you. I hear you. Let me love you. So it becomes like hug time for these thoughts, knowing that these thoughts will persist until they're loved.
Yes.
They're calling out for this internal love that was never given on a deep enough level that it needed to begin with.
And so it's not about what the bully is doing to us and constantly seeking out how unjust it is and how victimized we are by that. It's not about what the bully's doing to us. It's about what we have withheld from the bully.
What we've withheld from the bully. And this work must get done.
It must get done. That the bully will get louder and stronger and bigger as it is not seen and heard.
That's right.
You know, Matt Kahn is this really cool teacher, and he said this thing. Bear with me, and then we'll go deeper into explaining it. He said, the fear is if something is okay. The fear is if it's okay to act this way. So if we say to the bully, I'm not going to, you know...
tolerate this.
I'm not going to hate on you for acting this way. The fear is if I say it's okay that you're a bully, it's okay that you're hurting me, it's okay that you're doing these things, then we will manifest more of that torment and pain over and over and over. So that's the fear. I don't want to tell the bully it's okay to treat me that way because then I'm going to enable that behavior to keep going.
Right.
Right? And Matt says, but the truth is we only manifest it over and over again because it's not okay to act that way.
Oh.
So we have such resistance to how the bully is treating us that that's why it's happening over and over. And when we can get ourselves in a place where we don't have resistance to that behavior, then that behavior doesn't perpetuate in the space of non-resistance.
Right. We haven't loved it yet.
Yeah.
And because we haven't fully loved it, it actually can't transform.
That's right.
Right? So there comes a time when we say, okay, I'm ready to love the bully inside of me. I'm ready to really face it.
Yeah.
Right? I'm ready to get still enough and allow it to come up so that I can love it like I've never loved it before.
Right. And the thing that we want to be really conscious to in the observation of even contemplating or being willing to say I'm willing to take on loving this inner voice that is so mean to me, I'm willing to take on and hug it and hold it and say I love you and what's going on with you and why are you so scared and let me give love to this place inside of myself. What I think we will start to realize very quickly in this process is that the only thing the bully is actually attacking is what isn't actually real or true about us. So once we start to love it, we actually see that it never had any power in the first place. The only power it had was in how it got under our skin. So it didn't have to tell us real things because it could tell us make-believe things and it would work.
Yes.
And once we realize that all the ways the bully is attacking us is actually only illusion, then we stop having such a hard time in taking a stand for love against it or for it.
Right. As A Course in Miracles will tell us, only love is real. Everything else is illusion. So the bully's weapons aren't even real. I have a story.
I love a Kristen story.
And my story, of course, is about a love affair.
Ooh!
So I had this time a few years ago where I had this very saucy love affair. Ooh. And it was so exciting. I was going to Venice, Italy to meet a man to have just the sexiest weekend of all time, right?
Ooh!
And I remember wearing this beautiful red dress, and my hair was down, and I got on one of those water taxis. I didn't even know, like, when I arrived in Venice, like, how you got around, and I was like, oh, a water taxi, okay. And I remember being on the back of the water taxi, standing with, like, as it hopped over the water, my hair flying back, my red dress flying back, my arms expanded. I felt like I was flying. And I had taken this huge risk. I was jumping into the situation with no idea what was going to happen or how it would turn out. And I felt incredibly liberated. I felt like I was standing for joy and for what my heart wanted more than I ever have in my entire life. It was this huge expansion in me. And I get off the water taxi and there he is. And friends, this man was like straight off my vision board of what I would want in a partner. Like, right? Like, he just looked like, oh yeah, that's someone Kristen, yeah, would have all the feelings for.
That's for Kristen.
And we went to this beautiful hotel overlooking Venice, Italy. We had the most gorgeous lovemaking session. I was living in my heaven. And I think we came down and had, like, the breakfast of our dreams overlooking the water. I mean, it was the most gorgeous, it was, like, not even, I want buffets, like, cheap. It was, like, all in beautiful china with the most gorgeous little things. And I was, like, whose movie life am I in right now? That's what it felt like. And then as we started walking hand in hand through Venice, Italy, you guys, my ego, Farkas, came out slamming hard, like two fists. And all my ego kept telling me again and again, it was like so simple and so cheap, was like, you're so fat. So it was like the simplest, cheapest self-criticism, but all it could be was like catch your reflection. Look how fat you look. Why is he with you? Like, all this thing of, like, this undeservingness. And it was so intense, and it was painful, and it was cruel, and it was mean. And I just remember walking through Venice going, wow, wow, ego, you are working hard on me.
Yeah.
You really don't want me to be in bliss. But that that thought of, like, how my body looked went way deep down to this early childhood samskara, this wound inside of me. And it was almost like my ego was like, I'm afraid that she's almost going to stand for joy too much, and I'm going to come in swinging with the one thing I know is going to take her out of the present moment.
Wow. Wow. And how that was illusion.
It was all illusion. So
it was just the only thing that wasn't like it was like everything is so perfect. Oh,
right.
I gotta find something. There's nothing to find. Okay, I gotta make something up.
Gotta make something up.
Wow.
Right?
It's like we find ourselves in the playground of existence where everything is available to us. And that bully wants to show up and say something's wrong.
Right, and notice that the bully went for form.
Yeah.
Right? So we all know that who we are is energy.
Yeah.
So the bully is actually going after something that isn't who we are.
Right. Has your inner bully ever said to you, Kristen, your spirit is flawed?
No.
The energy inside of you, something's wrong with that.
Nope.
The way
your imagination,
your imagination sucks.
Mm-mm.
Never. But it'll go after you need to lose 5 pounds.
Yeah.
It's so cheap.
I know.
What a cheap shot.
What a cheap shot.
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating?
Fascinating. You know, it really just makes me see, though, that there's this beautiful sutra in the Yoga Sutras that talks about, it's like called the Meaning of Life Sutra. But it basically says that we are both Purusha and Prakriti. We are both light and spirit and energy and pure cosmic consciousness. And we are form.
Mm-hmm.
We are our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
We are our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that Prakriti, the form, the thoughts, the body, is here to serve the master of Purusha.
Mm.
And so the only way that we can understand ourselves as Purusha is by knowing what we are not.
That's right.
And so it almost feels to me like what the bully does is tell us, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that, so that we can know that's not really true, so that we can know what we really are. And so the function of the bully is the bully's salvation.
Yes, that's right.
The function of the bully being with us is actually to help us as our greatest teacher, as the thing that is here to set us free.
Yes. It's almost like the bully is here to show us there is a lie inside of you you haven't loved yet.
Ah, there is a lie inside of you that you haven't loved yet.
And it cannot be liberated until it is fully loved.
Whoa. And that makes me think of judgment. We want to judge the bully.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this great thing, again, our buddy Matt Kahn, he says, it's not that the behavior is bad.
Yes.
Or let's do our own version of this. It's not that the bully is bad. It is our judgment that something is bad that creates badness.
Ugh.
So So the bully isn't bad. The bully's hurt and wounded.
Yeah. Bully's hurt and wounded. But it's not bad.
It is our judgment saying there's something bad. Yeah. There's something bad. That creates the badness. But the badness is also the illusion. It's just that the judgment is there. And so when we can learn to love the one that is doing the judging, when we can learn to love the bully, the inner critic, then we can set ourselves free.
Loving the bully is the path to liberation.
That's right. So, oh, that's gorgeous.
It's so interesting because I know that there are so many, I work a lot with writers, and the thing that keeps people from writing again and again and again and again are their ego thoughts, right? The bully thought, the critic thoughts. And those thoughts will be insidious and they will create this resistance. So when we let the bully dominate, it becomes the block or the obstacle to our dharma, right? It becomes the thing that keeps us from doing our dharma.
Yeah.
But, right? So we don't sit down and we don't do whatever it is, the thing that we were put here to do, our very purpose, because this bully is so loud.
Right. And it's the bully's fault.
It's dominating the playground, right? But if we love the bully, then the thing that is the block to our dharma will actually become the access point into our dharma. It becomes the doorway to our dharma.
Yes. Right? That makes me think of, I believe it was Paul Selig who had this talk, and he talked about a rock is just a rock. A rock is neutral. So if we think of the bully as the boulder, the obstacle in our path, then what he is saying is that bully is actually neutral. That rock is actually just a rock.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take that rock and throw it at someone's head, you can murder them. Ooh. And then it becomes a weapon. Or you could take that same rock and use it to build a house, and then it becomes a home, a place of safety. Or you could take that rock and paint a beautiful picture on it, then it becomes creative expression. But the rock is neutral. The bully is neutral. It is what you do with it, what you do to it, that gives it its form, that gives it its power.
Our relationship with the bully is an act of creation.
That's right.
Right?
So what are we creating?
So every time that bully's voice comes up, we get to decide to do a creative act that will actually transcend the bully.
That's right.
And take us deeper into our dharma. That thing that was a boulder now becomes a stepping stone.
Yes.
Right?
Speaking of rocks.
Yes.
I also want to say, wife, congratulations on Rock of Ages is 9 years old today.
Nine years ago,
she had her little Broadway debut.
She did. I do feel like when Rock went to Broadway, it like went to college.
Yeah.
Right? So like now it's almost like she went to college.
Right.
And then she went to grad school.
Right.
And now she's just out in the world.
She's just out in the world. She's living her dharma.
She's just living her dharma. Congratulations. Changing lives. Where she goes.
But speaking of Rock of Ages, I was thinking about Rock of Ages today because a lot of, you know, our friends are posting and pictures of the show, and it was such a huge part of my life. It was how I met you. It was how we connected. It was the thing that brought me to New York. It's just such a powerful place in my reality. But I remember at the time, Rock of Ages brought me to New York. Mm-hmm. So that was my community. So everyone I hung out with was in that show.
Yeah.
So all those girls became my friends, and we all played softball together, and we all hung out, and we all went out after the show, and that was just what we all did all the time. And I remember this feeling of my bully used to love to tell me, Natalie, you are the fattest girl in the room, because I was hanging out with Broadway dancers, and they were all fierce, and especially Rock of Ages. I mean, they are wearing teeny tiny outfits, and they had bodies to die for.
That's right.
And I always remember feeling like the fat, ugly girl in the room full of these beautiful Broadway stars, and feeling like one of these things is not like the other. And my bully was so hard on me and so mean to me, to the point where I actually got to a point where I couldn't go watch the show anymore. Because what once gave me so much joy and laughter and light, and I loved seeing my friends up on that stage, just put me in such a shamed place of how bad I was doing in the world, how I wasn't on a Broadway stage and how my body would never look like that. And it just attacked me in that place. And speaking of going back to the original playground, I remember the kids on my school playground calling me Fatty Natty. And I remember the pain of feeling like too big wasn't a good thing.
Oh!
Talk about the bully being your teacher, because all I have learned as an adult is being too big is an awesome thing.
Yes.
But talk about how it was the path to my salvation. So what ended up happening is I discovered about myself that I just wanted to dance. And I was holding myself back from becoming a dancer or even going to a dance class, mm-hmm. because I thought my body was too big. I thought, I don't have a body of a dancer. I don't look like a dancer looks. Well, friends, just so you know, dancers look the way they look because they dance.
Oh!
You're not born with a dancer's body and then you go, I guess I should dance. You are born with a body and you dance and it starts looking different.
That's hilarious.
So, and I kept going to these intuitives and these psychics, and everyone just kept saying, Natalie, you need to dance. You need to go to dance class. You need to dance. You need to dance. And I got this message for years.
Yep.
And I would not even bring myself to go to a dance class because I was so embarrassed that my body was going to look so bad mm-hmm. in a room full of dancers. What was interesting is the reflection I got from one of my gurus was, we're not telling you to go dance because you're supposed to be a Broadway dancer. We're telling you to go dance because the second you start moving your body in that way, you are going to change drastically.
Yep.
And I will tell you, friends, that when I did finally take my first dance class, I felt high. I felt like I had never felt before. And moving my body in a way I had never moved before taught me who I really was. It taught me things about myself I didn't know. It gave me love and appreciation and joy and activation. And that was the same year that my income tripled. That was the same year that I had a beautiful new relationship in my life. That was the same year that so many magnificent things that I could have only ever dreamed of came in when I wasn't even looking and all I was doing was going to dance class. It was the only thing that I changed. But that was like me taking the rock, the obstacle, and saying, come be my dance partner. Yeah. Instead of being the thing that says I mustn't dance and it keeps me away from dance and it's the thing between me and dancing. Well, if you're the thing between me and dancing, then I'm just going to dance with you.
Yes.
I'm going to dance where I am.
Yep.
And you can move or not, but I don't need you to move for me to dance. I need me to move. That's what dancing is.
Ugh. I love that story so much. You know what was interesting that hit me? I never really realized this until you were telling the story, but like that Rock of Ages at that time made your dream come true of coming to New York and made my dream to come true of going to Broadway. And Rock of Ages is a term from the Bible that means God.
Yes.
Right?
The Rock of Ages.
Yeah, so like...
And it brought us together. I met you because of Rock of Ages.
So it was almost God being like, hey, guess what? I got a plan. I know what I'm doing. I'm no dummy.
And I can make that playground bigger than you can ever imagine.
Oh, you don't even know how big I can play. And I remember when I was doing Rock, inside of me, hearing so loudly, it's like, it's time to start talking to people about spirituality and creation.
Yeah.
It's like I was having the wish for you before I ever met you.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
So when we start thinking now about this bully, and just like in Natalie's story, that bully thought became the pathway to her living her life of her dreams. We now want to see that bully, when it shows up, when those thoughts show up to take you out of the moment, or that like are just hurting your day, you know, when Farkas shows up in your mind again, guess what? Farkas has shown up to take you to your dream life.
Yeah.
Right? The bully has shown up to usher you somewhere. So Michael Beckwith says, and one of my favorite quotes of his is, a lie will act as a law until it is neutralized. So if we're carrying anywhere in our body this lie, whether it be you're too fat or you, no one cares what you have to say, right? That will act as a law. It will be our truth until we neutralize it with love, right? Mm. Until we wrap our arms around it and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I'm ready for this thought to be transformed. And at that point is where I think affirmations become so helpful. So it's watching that old thought, oh, I see you, I'm loving you, and I know the truth of who I am is not this but this. And that's where I say the affirmation. But it's in noticing the old lie coming up, loving it, and then planting, right, in the place where there was this lie, I plant a new seed of the truth of who I know I am as a child of the divine.
It's almost like we go around the world and we want others to do something for us, mm-hmm. to help us, to give us a lift, to give mm-hmm. us a hand, to give us money, to help mm-hmm. us around our life, to make it easier for us. But really, we have to go in and make life easier for the bully.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when we're really safe.
Yes.
And then that's when we don't need anything on the outside because we are so busy taking such good care of ourselves.
On the inside, that's true self-care.
True self-care. Kyle Cease, who we love, has this gorgeous quote about triggers. He says, we expect the person who triggers us should change, but that's not what a trigger is for. A trigger is an opportunity for us to see what we don't like about ourselves so that we can transcend it. The real issue isn't the trigger or what the other person is doing. The real issue is our judgment of the thing or of that person.
Yes.
So if we think of the bully as the one who's triggering us, the real issue isn't the bully. The real issue isn't what the bully is doing. Actually, the bully is the gift. It's how we transcend it. Without the bully, we wouldn't transcend it. We mm-hmm. wouldn't see it. We wouldn't have the consciousness around it. And so our job is to say, can I get out of judgment? Because I can't hold judging something and loving it at the same time.
Yes.
And so at every moment, is my act of creation being invested in judgment or is my act of creation being invested in love? And the results of that choice will determine our life.
And we need to be mindful that this practice of loving the bully is just that. It's a daily practice. It's not like we are going to find ourselves at a place where the thoughts of the ego don't rear its head, right?
Yeah. And it's not our job to.
It's not our job.
So it's not our job to try to get rid of it.
No.
It's our job to be in relationship with it because it's not going anywhere.
That's right. Our job is to improve our relationship with it. And it becomes this practice, a daily practice. So what we want is to have our daily practice become bigger than the bully.
Boom. That's right. That's right. And what we do daily creates practice. What we do as practice creates habit. What we do as habit creates ritual. What we do as ritual creates the sacred. What is created as sacred is the path to the divine.
So in a way, our bully becomes our path to the divine.
That's right.
That without that bully or that ego or that inner critic, we wouldn't have to keep remembering, I got to plug in again today.
Right.
I got to plug back in.
And we would forget that we are divine. So in the same way that beautiful Yoga Sutra says that the job of Prakriti is to serve the master Purusha, the job of the bully is to serve the master of my higher self.
Show me what I'm not so I can show myself what I am.
Amen, Kristen Hange.
All right.
I know who you are.
I know who you are. Oh, you are a present that just keeps on unwrapping itself, and it is delicious.
Delicious. Bully for you.
Bully for you!
Bully for you, friends. The bully is for you. Life is for you. We say it probably every podcast, Rob Bell tells us it is rigged in our favor, and that favor is growth.
Yes.
The bully is for you. So as you get quiet in whatever practice you have, journaling, mm-hmm. meditation, creative writing, whatever dance you're dancing, whatever thing that you're doing, when you hear the voice of that bully, can you not repress it? Can you not make it wrong? Can you not get frustrated with it? Can you not judge it? Can you instead say, I hear you. I see you. And I love the part of myself that is that scared. I love the part of myself that thinks it has to bully me. I love the part of myself that wants to tell me I'm not good enough. That sweet, sweet space inside of myself wants my attention, and I am here.
We can't really love anyone else truly until we love ourselves, and that's what that means, right? Really loving the bully,
all of the parts of ourselves.
Ugh.
No separation, no judgment. Let us stand in a beautiful romance, a beautiful dance, a beautiful saying, I am here with you, and no matter how mean you are to me, I am here for you, and I am here with you, because you can't really hurt me, because I'm actually just God.
God.
I'm actually just light. I'm actually just divinity. I'm actually just pure creative energy. I'm actually just love.
Ooh. You know, sometimes I love to go back to our podcasts and listen them to them, and I learn things.
Uh-huh.
You know,
oh, I do that all the time,
right?
Uh-huh.
And
I'm like, who said that?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I can't wait to go back and listen to this podcast.
Yeah,
I really think this podcast is going to help me.
I think so too. And so let's develop some practices this week where we can start to allow the bully to be for us.
You know what I think I'm going to do is allow a little more time in my meditation. That's devoted just to bully loving, just for me and Farkas.
Yeah.
Just for our beautiful love affair.
Hey, Farkas, what do you want to tell me today?
Yeah, Farkas, you got anything?
Got anything?
Because I just want to make sweet love to you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a fun game.
Isn't that a fun game?
So feel free, friends, as you take on whatever practice feels like it's fun for you or whatever is going to move you into this conversation in a new way, come to the Create Community Facebook page and post and tell us what you're doing, what you're discovering, what your bully's saying to you, how you're loving on it, how you're romancing it, how you're taking it out on the town. Let us know what this practice looks like for you, because I do think there's so much power in the sharing so that we can all help elevate each other with new tools, new practices, new techniques.
Hashtag I love Farkas.
And we are doing 100 days of joy. So, you know, whatever, the bully probably could use some joy in its life. So maybe there's a little like a bully joy date.
Yeah.
You never
know. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. So imagine this is a practice. Okay, where's the bully hitting hard at? How do I turn that into a date?
Yeah.
Right? So whatever it's using, right?
Oh.
Say the ego's using you're bad at money.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take that negative self-talk on a date.
That's
to show how good I am.
Right.
Right?
Right. I'm going to romance it. I'm going to wine and dine it.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay.
Oh, how fun.
I see you.
I see you. So fun.
Speaking of 100 days of joy, I have a thought that might make our listeners very joyful.
I can't wait.
Here's something that's joyful. Think about being in Italy.
Well, after your Venice story.
I mean. Listen.
Think of being in Italy with Kristen and myself in flowy red dresses in a water taxi having happy hour at the Vatican with John DeVisi.
I actually have this on my true vision board right now. I have this girl who's like in a red cape with like a hood over her head, and she's standing in what looks like Italy. So I have a desire to have a red cape that has a hood over my head.
Okay, I'm going to recreate the photo shoot.
I'm going to recreate it.
So, well, if you want to come do photo shoots with us, if you want to drink wine with us, if you want to have pasta with us, if you want to eat gelato with us. I don't know why it's all about food.
You know,
you want to do a workshop with us.
I have a desire. I know. We're actually going to do a workshop, not just, but I do have a desire for someone to feed me gelato.
Oh.
And if that's you listening, you could be a part of my,
of your desire
of my, yeah, you part of my manifestation.
Well, friends, we are going to Italy August 31st till September 3rd, we are going to Roma, and we want you to come with us. And we actually don't have a lot of space available, so we really want you to sign up if you're interested. If you sign up before June 1st, you're going to get $100 off the price. And so if you are feeling like one way you could be in a romance with your bully is taking it to Italy, then maybe now is the time. It's going to be beautiful. We are going to go deep into exploring pleasure and desire and purpose and activation. And these are things that have transformed our life so fully that it's the only thing we're really teaching anymore, you know, because this practice alone, really joy and pleasure, has transformed our lives in the last few months in ways that are so profound that it's all we want to teach.
I feel like, you know, you always teach what you most want to learn, and all I really want to really learn how to do is how to live from the core of what I love.
Yeah.
What really brings me pleasure.
We all have heard the thing of live a life that you love, and it'll never feel like you're working, yeah, and all those things. And we have all of these obstacles of why that's not possible for us specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible for other people. It's not for me because of this, because of this, because of this, because of money, because of this limitation, because of this disability, because of whatever. And we all have them. And pleasure, in the same way, if we want to love the bully and see the bully as for us, pleasure wants us to know that whatever obstacle you think you have to pleasure is also for your pleasure.
That's right.
So we want to go deep into that with you. And if that's a conversation you're interested in having, shoot us an email, come to thecreateseries.com, sign up, take a leap, see what happens. It could be so exciting.
Yeah, the thing you think is an obstacle is actually here to show you how powerful you are to overcome it.
It's your rock of ages.
It's your rock of ages!
Thank you for listening. If you love the podcast, give us a review, give us a shout out, let us know, join our Create Facebook page so we can get to know you.
You could share this with a friend and say, hey, you want to do some bully dating with me?
And also, we are going to Denver, outside of Denver, the Arvada Center for the Arts. So we don't know when this podcast is dropping. Maybe we've already been there. But May the 5th, we're going to be at the Arvada Center out in Colorado. We would love to see you Saturday, May the 5th.
And if this does drop after May the 5th, and you're like, I want them to come to my town, well, then email us.
Let us know. We love to travel.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to play with us, listen. Hey. Don't threaten us with a good time.
We love a good date.
We love a good date. And we love you. And we love that you listen. And we love that you tune in. And we love that you trust us with your time to have these really great conversations together. So thank you so much for that.
Thanks for being our friend. If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!